forehand just so this won't happen. What's the matter with you?
Shut up.
What is the matter with you?
Oh, we're recording now. Okay, good.
Oh, now we're recording.
At this moment?
Yes, at this very moment.
Oh, chomp, chomp.
Okay, hold on a second. You guys hear that?
That clicking noise?
What is that?
That seems...
You guys hear that?
I hear it. Yeah, I hear it. I thought it was you.
Thought it was me?
No, I thought it was Chewy eating.
Oh, pizza crust doesn't make that noise. Wait a minute.
But your jaw makes that noise.
That's my jaw?
Yes.
Have you never heard that before?
Oh my god, that is my jaw! Oh my god, I gotta go to the emergency room.
On a very special episode of The Mana Pools, now, Chewie learns that his jaw is freaking weird.
Holy crap, wow.
Hello again?
Thanks for listening, everyone, and go play some magic. Alright, who wants to drive me to the emergency room?
I'll be over there in a few minutes.
Alright, thanks, see you in a minute.
Let me finish my beer first.
I have a sec. Grab one for the road.
Please work.
Yay.
It's working. It's working.
Everybody must get stoned.
Please. Okay, it's working. We've been recording for the last 10 seconds.
How is that possible?
Because I don't know.
Time machine.
Yes. All right, then. Hello again, and welcome to the Mana Pool. After a quick jaunt to the emergency room, I'm okay. See? That's better. This is episode 151 of the Mana Pool. Yes, we survived 150. Barely.
I wasn't there for it, so...
You wasn't there for it. You had a... I guess it was a semi-decent excuse, but don't let it happen again.
I'll trust me. I think I'll see it coming.
No more having babies during landmark episodes.
Right. Sorry, sir.
Unless, of course... Carrie's having a baby during a landmark episode, in which case you'll get another pass.
I'll be sure to time it just right.
Let's see, in 9 months, we'll be doing episode 250.
Oh, I got a headache. Is 151 a prime number? For some reason, I started wondering whether it was. Do you think it is?
Wow.
Why do you need to know?
Why wouldn't I? Anyway, sorry.
You're right. Okay, so... We are brought to you, as always, by CardShark.com, a better way to buy and sell collectible card games.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Everybody? Anybody? At all? It worked.
I wonder what the last thing they heard was.
I don't know. I got distracted. I can't remember what the last thing that I heard from y'all was, but when I dropped out of the call, a couple seconds later, the recording stopped because, you know, the call was over for me. Huh.
Except you didn't drop out. We heard the British chick start talking about a nobody answering the phone.
Yeah.
I hope that got recorded, because that was hilarious.
Well, I didn't hear it on my end, so that means it probably didn't get recorded.
Oh, crap.
If this keeps failing, we'll ask Dirk to host the call, and then Chewie will start dropping out, and then we'll all just be hilarious.
That'll be awesome. Okay, so what were we just talking about, anybody? Oh, yeah, a hot card. Give me a popular card. Damn it, this
cough.
Is not...
Cough.
What?
Off.
Cough. Cough, cough.
Cough. Do 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 do. All right, Cough of the Hammer.
I don't remember that part of the conversation, so that part didn't get recorded. So what are you guys up to?
Oh, good. I was talking about Card Shark, and I said, you know what, I'm going to do something I haven't done in a while. I'm going to look up a card and compare it.
Oh, okay.
All right, so, Koth. Star City has him for $44.99. And it doesn't say sold out, so I'm guessing they have some. Stock, too. Okay. Card Shark has 1-2 for $40, 1 for $40.99,
mm-hmm.
2 for $42, 42.59, 43.21, and then 1 for $44.99. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 you can get at Card Shark for cheaper than you can at Star City. Ha ha!
Ha ha!
Remember when you used to like? Remember when you used to like not say the name of Star City Games and you would compare prices?
Yeah, well now everybody already knows. So.
What about Trinket Mage? Because there's an uncommon, and it's probably going for a little bit, and it's been reprinted. So I'm curious.
Well, it was a common when it was first printed, so I would assume that would hold it down a bit.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Okay, let's see here. Fifth Dawn singles, 50 cents, 49 cents at Trinket Mage, 49 cents from Star City. Trinket Mage, Scars of Mirrodin, 49 cents at Uncommon. Card Shark, 5 cents and 10 cents. Do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, I mean, I usually have. Yeah. Talking to themselves.
Do what?
I'm talking to myself. I noticed there was a program open that I usually turn off before we start recording. So, mayhaps it has caused one or two problems. But now it is off.
Well, maybe that'll fix it.
Yay!
I'll close a couple things, too. Do I sound better?
Yes, you do.
Do I look any better?
No.
Oh.
That is the correct answer. Okay. So, yes, there you go. You should totally go to Card Shark because it is cheaper than... Wait a minute. Say something.
I'm still here, and this is me saying something.
Okay, never mind. Sounds okay.
We're on.
Go ahead and restart.
What? No, we're recording again, so let's go.
Oh, we're recording again?
Yeah.
Well, when did that start?
That's about 20 seconds ago. I tried to tell you, but I didn't tell you properly.
Fair enough.
That much is clear.
Okay, so Mike was gone. I have no idea what we were talking about, so I'll just go ahead and say this again and cut out all the nonsense at the end of the last one. The reason the Card Shark is cheaper is because the users are selling the cards rather than Card Shark itself selling the cards, unlike Star City and all these other stores online. So the internal competition drops prices down in theory. And in practice, it turns out. Ha ha ha, yes. So there you go.
And many of
them are our sponsor.
Aren't paying any overhead either. They're just selling cards.
Yeah, they don't pay for a store, Ben Blayways' salary or whatever. None of that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not paying for... what is that sound?
It's not my jaw.
It could be my popcorn bag, but I'm trying to eat very, very softly.
That is what it is, yes. Okay, Mike?
Yes?
Okay. I saw you blink, and I didn't hear anything, and I was like, oh, God, here we go again.
I started to say something. I was going to say, we also get a free pass on professionalism since we're part of the establishment.
Yes. All right, then. So, we had new forum members. Joined the forums. Enzo, like Ferrari, and X Snare X. Okay. Neither of them have posted anything yet, so on them. There's a really good discussion going on right now on the forums mostly between Mike and Bill about Tainted Strike and whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to watch you two try to outlogic each other.
I spend more effort on having an argument with Bill than other people because, let's be honest with one another, Bill is much more interesting to have a conversation with. That's nothing against all the rest of you. You're just not as interesting to talk to. I'm sorry.
Oh, sick burn.
I'm sorry. I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that.
You're always saying this because you've seen...
Huh?
He's just trying to be honest.
Chewy.
You're only saying this because you've seen Bill naked.
Oh, well.
Ew.
Wait, have you seen Bill naked?
It's been a while.
Oh. Well, that was me. Never mind. Nothing. Okay. That you saw. Not I saw Bill naked. I've only seen Bill once because Bill sucks, remember? Okay, let's see here.
Anything else to say about the forums?
Nah, not really. I was reading this email real quick. Oh, yeah, we've had a couple people contact us and say, hey, I made it to round three of the Great Designer Search 2. Could you help? I was like,
I've only seen one person ask for that.
One person contacted me via a Facebook message, and I said, you really should email the rest of the guys because I didn't even realize we were up to round three yet. I have not looked at the Great Designer Search. I have never been to the wiki. I think this whole idea is corrupt.
Wiki.
Wiki what? So, I do want to take the quiz, but I have not taken the quiz yet either, so.
I think, yeah.
They haven't posted
all of
quiz
my
yet.
Horrible, horrible mess at work that had me going for 10, 12 hours a day for, you know, months at a time with no time off and all that good, well, weeks at a time with no time off, all that good stuff is over.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is now that there's nothing to do, we have a lot of crap to do. And I still seem to be putting in 9, 10 hours a day. I'm like, why? There's nothing to do. So, yeah, it's been interesting. So I still haven't had time to get much of anything done, which is why episode 150 took so long to go up. That and I had visitors this weekend, so I didn't want to be rude. And
right.
I'm going to go into my room and put up a podcast. You guys sit out here for like 3 hours and just, you know, keep yourselves entertained, which I'm sure they could have, but that's just rude. But anyway.
Oh, you didn't miss the multiple choice quiz, by the way. They're not going to post that until they get to the show rounds.
Well, what do I hear people talking about? Oh, they must be talking about the old one.
Yeah, and also there are some people posting, like, talking about... Okay, because the people actually involved in the contest, of course, have already taken the multiple choice quiz. And they are talking with each other about certain things and doing their best not to give away the contents of the quiz because they're not supposed to. So maybe you've also heard people talking about that.
Ah, that must be what it is. I heard Flores and BDM. I just listened to the latest Top 8 Magic podcast, and they were talking about that. And I was like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, that hasn't been publicly released yet.
Ow. Emergency room. So, yeah, Wes made it in.
Woo.
And he emailed us, and I'm really very sorry, but I don't foresee myself having any time to get my stuff done, much less help him out on the Great Designer Search, which makes me sad because I really wish I could.
I was able to post one comment to one of the discussion pages on his wiki, but that was it, really. That's all the input I had.
I was going to help, but this request came while I was in the hospital with Carrie. So by the time I was able to actually give it enough attention, because it was due in on Sunday night, to actually figure out where I could post and all that, he had finished up, and it was really too late for me to really bring anything to the table. So did well, and
Carrie's in the hospital? Is she okay? Thank you, Mike. That's all I need. Dirk, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just shaking my head.
That's what I thought I heard. Okay. I knew I heard rattling.
You heard me thinking very loudly.
So, Good job, Wes. I hope you make it further. Or made it further. I don't even know where we are at this point.
I don't know if there's been another cut yet. Maybe. I guess we'll hear about that Monday.
I guess so. And Spider Demon sent us an Urza the Planeswalker. Planeswalker.
Yeah.
And its mana cost is 4 white red question mark.
Or is it?
Or is it?
That's the 6th color.
Ah.
Question mark.
It starts with 6 loyalty. Plus 1, you may spend white mana as though it were red mana. I'm guessing this is until end of turn.
Well, yeah.
More than likely, yeah.
Minus 2, each player... Each player draws 2 cards, then discards 3 cards, then loses 4 life. What is that?
Urza's Spite, I think it's
Urza's Spite. Spite, yeah.
Okay. And then, minus 8, Urza the Planeswalker deals 10 damage to that creature... To that creature?
Yeah.
To target creature or player, and the damage can't be prevented.
So it's a kicked Urza's Rage.
It's a kicked Urza's Rage, yeah. That's why it says that. He must have just copied it from Urza's Rage. And the first one is the... Oh, it's the sunglasses. Now I get your...
Yeah, Urza's sunglasses. So now you understand my comment.
Yeah, you should read that.
Okay, after reading the first ability, I just couldn't stop thinking about David Caruso and... Yeah!
Oh, that was terrible.
It was terrible.
It's actually... Yeah! That wasn't that either, but...
We can't do it. Pizza.
Pizza, pizza crust.
You know what we're talking about. You listeners.
Pizza, pizza.
Don't die.
Oh, man. Excuse me while I choke and die. Isn't that a... Puddle of Mud's Nuts Drift and Die. Never mind.
Pardon me while I burst. Yeah, is,
Into flames.
Flames? Enough of you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not...
Yeah, no.
We like music.
Hey, Mike, I had a quick rules question for you.
Okay, what you got?
Emblems by themselves are not necessarily legendary, correct? Emblems are not legendary. You can have more than one. And you can have more than one of the same one.
Yeah, it's I haven't read any rules about being restricted to one.
Okay. Because with the first Elspeth one, you know, it doesn't really matter. If it's indestructible, it's indestructible. And with Koth, it doesn't really matter because it just has your lands have the ability twice, so it doesn't up the damage.
Right.
With Venser, it actually matters.
Uh-huh. Yes, it does.
Okay. I just had that thought. And I wanted to make sure that something had been said that slipped by my attention.
Oh, okay.
That's all.
Cosmic rays. So, that's a couple emails we've gotten since the last one. Do we have...
I was thinking about reading this other one. We got a spam email from
That was rather funny to read.
Juan Ambrose. Hello, dear. How are you doing and your family? My names are Juan Ambrose, 24-year single girl. I got your email on web and decided to write to you in the hope that you will reply my mail and give me the chance to make this relationship of ours take a step further. I hardly correspond with people on net, but I am certain that I did make a right choice in corresponding with you. Thus, I decided to correspond with you ASAP and try to get to know you more. I will be eagerly awaiting for your quick response, so please, if you accept me, looking forward for a wonderful reply from you. I will be waiting to hear from you soonest. Take care of yourself and have a nice day. Sincerely, Juan Ambrose.
Juan Ambrose is a hot chick.
Who apparently does not realize how many people listen or either listen to that email or apparently receive this email, because little does that individual know, a lot of people got it.
George, I have a funny feeling that a lot of people did in fact get that email. That's just a thought. I don't think we're the
That wasn't person. Sent to just one of us. That was sent to all of us.
I think Brian's implying that that email was worldwide before I read it just now.
Yeah, I know, but it's not like one of those ones where sometimes you get an email and you can see that they apparently the individual sent the mail brought out to all the people who have the first name of something.
Oh, yeah.
This one was specifically to the Manipool.
Hey, we are pretty specific. Anyway.
Like specificity.
Is there anything else that we need to do before we go into this topic that Mike, of all people, came up with?
I don't think there was any news, was there?
Yes, there's news.
There was.
Yes, there is. Draft order.
Oh, yeah.
By now, everybody knows about it, but it's still huge.
It is pretty important, yes. Please expound, Brian.
So, starting
with... Oh, God, don't ever say that to Brian.
So, in the coming year... what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So, so, basically, starting with Mirrored and Besieged, whenever you... draft, you're going to draft with the small set first. You'll actually start, you'll draft with the most recent set first. So say, we're drafting, Mirrodin, Scars of Mirrodin and Mirrodin Besieged. You'll start out, you'll still have two packs of the first expansion and one of the second, but you're going to draft them in the opposite order where you'll draft the Mirrodin Besieged booster first. And then you'll draft the two Scars of Mirrodin. And then once the third set comes out, which I don't think we have a name for, it'll be the third set, and then Mirrodin Besieged, and then Scars of Mirrodin. And, you know, I have always thought, especially right around the time that a new set is coming out, it's kind of hard to value those new cards in draft, because usually, you know, you're so set in your draft. Like, say you're drafting Ravnica, you're drafting Ravnica Guild Pact, unless you're really, really looking ahead, you're going to be locked into one of the original color combinations. Mm-hmm. And then you also don't know what you're going to get past, so you have no idea what the value is going to be of those cards later. So I really like this. And to answer the question that people are going to have, hopefully they don't have it, because I thought it was pretty well explained in the article, but... first of all, this is just for competitive events, so if you don't want to, you and your friends can continue to draft however you want. And then second of all, this is not being applied retroactively. So when you draft your Time Spiral or your Lorwyn or Alara or I'm trying to think of the set that just came out of
Zendikar.
Zendikar.
Haha. That's old news. No one cares about that.
Or your Rise of the Eldrazi. No, you don't. You still start with Rise of the Eldrazi. You don't start with Rise of the Eldrazi. It's okay. That all works the same, because they said they don't want to mess with what people have expected and the history that they have with that sort of stuff. So I think that's pretty much it. Anybody else have any comments about it or anything like that?
I hope that this wasn't just something someone thought of independent of the design and development process.
I can't imagine they would make a decision this big, because you have to know when you're Wizards that when you release this, people are going to go, "Waha," and they're going to either react positively or negatively, but they're going to react.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, everything I know about how they do business, I don't think that they are going to say, "I think this is a good idea."
Brian?
Yes.
Oh, I thought I heard a weird noise.
Yeah, you're sort of blinking in and out, and it sounded like you might have been gone.
Blinky, blinky?
Yes, blinky, blinky. Yeah.
We're just having all the problems tonight.
I know, right? I'm with Mike on this one. When someone first put this in the forums, Mike said, "I wonder why they're doing this, because it sounds like," and I read it, And you're right. It sounds like Aaron Forsyth walked around, talked to some people, and said, let's do this. This sounds cool.
I know it couldn't have been that simple, but the way he related it to everyone made it sound that simple. And there are some dumb people out there who are going to read it and read that as meaning it really was that simple. So, I'm not saying any of you listeners are some of those dumb people. Well, if you are, you know who you are, so you know it's true.
Well, actually, if you are, you probably don't.
So oh, that's true, yeah. So if,
question, why make this change now? For Scythe, the current drafting order, has been in place since at least Mirage, maybe even Ice Age, but the Magic R&D veterans said they'd never heard anybody question it. After talking with lots of people, drafting the new set first makes so much sense that I'm surprised it hasn't been brought up before. Thanks for that. Appreciate you.
I know that Rosewater has mentioned in several articles that because is usually the most terrible reason for doing something.
It really is. But we'll see. We'll find out. I mean, I don't have an opinion of it left or right.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be nifty, and it'll finally make that third set matter, because really the third set never matters, except, oddly enough, in like Mirrodin, Fifth Dawn, you hoped that you could pick up some crazy stuff in Fifth Dawn. But really, isn't that it?
Future Sight was good. Well, Future Sight was way too wide open. Future Sight, you could get anything. You didn't know.
Yeah, but I mean, in the Mirrodin, the full Mirrodin draft, you could plan for Fifth Dawn.
Okay, I see what you're saying. That's because
the whole Sunburst thing, along with the whole colorless thing before it. But
yeah, that helps.
I can't think of another draft format that was like that.
In Ravnica Block, I'm sure it would have been nearly impossible to try to make the last pack matter.
Oh,
before
God.
Before you saw it.
Oh.
Saviors was just bad.
Well, Dirk liked it, so that's all that really matters.
Yeah. I saw that going in and was like, this is my baby. That's one of the few that I actually did really well at.
Oh, God, you're not going to name your kid Saviors of Kamigawa, are you?
No.
Ooh.
There's only been two pre-releases I've gone to where I actually did well. Saviors was one of them.
I thought you were about to say there's been only two pre-releases that I've considered naming my kid after, and Saviors was not.
It's not.
That reminds me, Dirk, you posted on Facebook the sex of the baby.
Uh-huh.
But you didn't tell everybody.
Oh, on the everyone here listen to the Manipool?
Well, unless you just don't want to tell everybody, but, you know,
well,
I figured it's going to make this news.
The news that, or whenever we went in, we got the ultrasounds and everything, the baby is going to be a boy. And so the baby's first name is going to be Trevor.
Oh.
Assuming when the baby comes out that we're like, oh, wait a second, the baby's missing something and something else is in its place.
Hey, that
in
has
which
happened
case,
to my family several times.
In which place, or which case, we will probably be scrambling for a name at that point, but we're quite sure that it is a boy.
Okay.
Word. We'll just come up with a girl's name as a backup, just in case.
She's only 19 weeks along, so we're almost to the halfway point. So.
We'll see. Otherwise, you'll be Lisa. And then, oh, look, it's a boy. Let's name it Claude the Third. Oh, God, let's don't do that. Let's name it Jason. Okay, but we'll name it Jason Claude. Damn it, fine. Yeah, that's where I came from.
I thought you came from Milwaukee.
No, I've never even been to Milwaukee.
I thought Pittsburgh.
Lord, let's get on to something else.
Newport News?
Newport News.
No, Pittsburgh is where the old man basically lived because he's a trucker. Newport News is where mom and dad came from.
Okay.
They found me under a rock.
Near Newport News.
Lord. Because, like everybody else's parents, my parents have never had sex, ever. Now that that's awkward, let's move
love
on.
That immaculate conception.
Oh, yeah. No, under a rock. Get with it,
Derek. Difference.
There's a difference. Okay, can I close the email now? Yes, we're out of email. Okay, so. Was that all the news? Draft order reversal?
Maybe. Yes. Yes.
I'm almost certain there was something else. I was like, oh, I gotta show, I gotta mention this on the show. But it has since fallen off. That's why I had the email still open, actually. Herp a derp.
Ben
Black Friday? No.
Ben alerted us to the fact that there's a new PR contact at Wizards.
No, our listeners don't care.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying that's another email we got.
Fantasy football? No. Papa John's? No. Archive.
Sikorsky just recently publicly flight tested a super fast experimental helicopter design. They say it's the fastest in the world.
I gotta get me one of those.
It can be flown by one person. Something. And they're working on a model that can be flown pilotless.
Ooh. Oh well. I surrender. So, Mike, what is this topic we're doing that's awesome?
What is this topic we're doing?
At this for like an ever?
Yeah, it's been a while. I can't even add up all these things. So, I thought, you know, when I started looking at lists of Scars of Mirrodin, you know, of course there's a bunch in there that makes you remember stuff from the original Mirrodin block. And for some of them, I'm like, oh, man, it would be so sweet if we had that still. Thank you, Rainy.
Get him! Get him! Get him! That's not the baby. I'm confused.
It's Rainy on backup vocals. But yes, so I decided to go through and look at the old Mirrodin block and look for cards that would be pretty sweet to have right now. But for most of them, there are good reasons why we couldn't have them right now. And the reason isn't just the fact that why would they reprint this again when they could print new stuff instead? Yeah, for some of them, there's actually good reasons. So I asked these guys to at least try to think vaguely about it. And I even made myself some notes. So now we will talk about it.
And vague we did. We are. We will be.
Okay. I want to hit the very first one real quick.
Okay.
I really think they should have reprinted Arrest, because it's awesome.
They did reprint Arrest.
Well, I guess I'm out then.
One thing, they haven't there are no artifact lands in Scars of Mirrodin, right?
Correct.
Thank God.
There are no artifact lands.
Well, I mean, I kind of liked the artifact lands, but then again, all the stuff that I had in terms of artifacts was stuff that really looked for artifacts and did lots of fun stuff when artifacts were present. So
even without Affinity and some of the other things that used to exist, artifact lands probably still would be pretty broke-ass in the modern age, and Metalcraft would probably be 4 instead of 3 if artifact lands existed.
Yeah, imagine back in the day if Shrapnel Blast didn't have artifact lands. Shrapnel Blast would still have been good, but not that good.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah, they definitely made it to my list.
I was looking at the Ariok Steel Shaper. Because it's in white, and it starts with an A. And equip cost you pay costs 1 less. That is freaking great. I don't care who you are.
Oh, yeah.
But they couldn't reprint it, really, because of his second ability, the Soldiers and Knights getting pumped, because there's no Soldiers and Knights, like, sub-theme running throughout the set.
They could have done it. They just didn't emphasize that theme this time.
Ryan, you're having some serious max headroom problems over there.
Sorry. I'll try and not do that anymore.
Okay.
Have you noticed that on the forums people keep going, ball sack, ball sack, ball sack?
That really resonated with the fans. You did well.
I appreciate that. And yes, they could have, but it would have been stupid without the sub theme running through it.
Correct.
He'd be backwards compatible with a lot of guys from Rise of the Eldrazi.
Also true.
So he could happen, but yeah, his own ability would be... It wouldn't be as relevant within the block, even though there are soldiers, but... They're not as... what? Where am I looking?
Well, one I'm going to throw out is Luxon on Warhammer.
Ah!
Is Luxon on Warhammer not in print anymore?
It is not in standard anymore.
Okay. It's not?
No.
No. It was replaced essentially by the Sword of Vengeance.
Oh, yeah.
In the rare equipment slot.
Oh, okay.
Because it was it's a great card.
Wait a minute.
As long as you're on the giving end. As long as you're on the... Here, catch this end.
I'm retarded. It wasn't even in M10. Duh.
It wasn't? Wow, I'm dumb too.
Okay, good.
Alright. See?
It's uncommon in Mirrodin.
Which was wrong.
Yeah, that was
in every way.
It won the Darksteel pre-release pretty much because I got one of those and a Juggernaut. And just random other things. And what else do you really need, you know?
Mm-hmm. I remember at that sealed PTQ we went to in Richmond, I won every game where I got to play my Luxon Warhammer, except for the one game where the other guy played Murderous Spoils on my attacker, stole my Luxon Warhammer, and beat me to death with it.
He said, here, let me show you how that works.
Yes, exactly. Murderous Spoils would be good. Would be pretty cool to have. And Soul Nova, also, that's slightly similar, but maybe those are a bit too swingy to really have around.
Soul Nova. Oh, okay. Well, they did a variation on that in red. Turn to Slag.
Turn to Slag. It's not...
What does that do?
5 damage to the creature, and it destroys all the equipment on it.
Oh, okay.
That's a sorcery, though. It's not responsive.
Yeah.
Well, Blink Moth Infusion. Affinity for artifacts, and you get to untap all artifacts. It's just got a wicked cost. It's 12 and 2 blue. But it's an instant spell that untaps all artifacts, so if you've been running a lot of artifacts, especially all your mirrors... You just swung with the mirror army, and you're like, I've run out of blockers. I guess I might need to untap all that.
Well, that's why they gave us the Galvanizer.
Ah.
Because he can untap all of their mirror. So why isn't there, like, a Ritual of Restoration?
Yeah, I looked for that, and I can't really find anything. What is there in that respect in Scars? I haven't... Is there anything else? There's like, well, Corpse Crow doesn't count.
No.
What kind of artifact recursion is there in Scars? I just realized I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Is there any?
I don't know. How does one search for such a thing in Gatherer without making it break itself?
You search Return,
oh.
And you search Scars, and you hit Search, and you get flipped off. Here we go. No. Disperse, no. Glimmer Point, no. Glint Hawk, no. Okay, maybe you should have searched for not just the word Return, but... Oh, you can get a mirror card from your graveyard to your hand. With the Reservoir. Nim Death Mantle doesn't really count. I threw up a little bit. Razor Hippogriff.
Okay. But still, if that's the only one, that's wild.
Nope. And the Salvage Scout.
Oh, and the Salvage Scout.
And that's okay. It.
Wow, that's it.
So the Salvage Scout is essentially a Ritual of Restoration, just... You gotta pay for him twice.
On a guy, yeah. Huh.
Well, at least there's one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm glad there's no Roar of Reclamation, which is each player returning all artifact cards, because they just got rid of that, because there's no more Esper. I mean, you couldn't have Roar of Reclamation without Esper.
Precisely.
Because we are all idiots.
Which brings me to another point. Fabricate was printed in M10, but they didn't bring it back. And I was like, come on, man. Come on.
Maybe that was for a good reason.
Perhaps. I mean, Fabricate wasn't ridiculously stupid back in the day. It was just good. I don't know.
One thing that I am glad they're not bringing back is the Bringers.
Well, that would never work without the whole Fifth Dawn Sunburst retarded thing.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
They're good cards. Bringer. They just wouldn't work right now.
What do you say?
I said they're good cards. They just wouldn't work right now.
Yeah. Speak up, Mike.
Okay, I'll get right on that.
Is there anything that searches up equipment in Scars? Because there were a handful of things that searched up equipment in Scars. I mean, in Mirrodin.
I don't know if there is. There's Stoneforge Mystic chilling in Zendikar.
I guess so that's ridiculous enough to cover it.
Yeah, that's pretty ridiculous. But, no, I don't really recall seeing anything like that in Scars of Mirrodin. Now that you say such things.
Wow, so what about Affinity? Are we glad that they didn't bring Affinity back?
Like, yes.
Any form?
I don't know if that can be done correctly again.
They could do it possibly without Affinity for artifacts, or Affinity for artifacts but not on artifacts. That sort of thing.
The problem is when it's Affinity for something and you put it on a bunch of cards that are already that thing. Doing that is the big problem.
That's what Brian just said.
And especially when it's artifacts, because artifacts can get to zero. You can have, like, Affinity for enchantments or something, or even Affinity for creatures on a creature, but if the creature isn't an artifact, it's not going to cost down to zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always liked the Affinity for basic lands dudes, the Ogsida Golem and the Razor Golem specifically were the ones that I just loved. I thought they were awesome.
I played with the Razor Golem and the Spire Golem most often.
Ha! Blue player.
Yeah. I think Spire Golem is the only one I still play with, and he's only in one deck. You ready to take a look at that?
I think those would have been okay.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't really fit at all, except that they were Artifact Creature Golem.
Right.
What's the card that replaced the Chrome Mox?
What was that?
Mox Opal. Brian. Mox Opal.
They're echoing for Brian.
What did he set his mic down on the table?
I haven't done anything. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear us coming from you.
A lot of weirdness.
I have not turned off. I have not unplugged.
Lean back.
I'm hanging on. Brian.
Yes.
No, be quiet. Brian. Now I don't hear it. What was that about?
That's because that's not what it was. It wasn't us echoing. It was something else going on. Anyway. Lean back, Brian. Lean back. Keep your microphone away from the speakers. That's what causes feedback.
Moving it to the far end of the table.
Oh, this is terrible. But we will forge it. Okay, I definitely heard myself echo that time.
Yes, sir.
Audio mayhem.
Oh, good God.
That should be the title of this episode, Audio Mayhem.
Seriously. Anyway, what were we talking about?
I was mentioning that I'm glad they had something that replaced the Chrome Mox.
Oh, yeah, the Mox Opal?
Mm-hmm.
It's something that wasn't as unfair as Chrome Mox. Chrome Mox was still pretty wild.
I like the Mox Opal. I think it's nicely balanced.
Yeah. Let's see.
What about the echoing spells?
Huh?
Is there any reason to or not to do that?
Oh,
I guess the Eldrazi spawn tokens sort of make that kind of iffy to play.
Yeah, I mean, they were interesting, but I don't think they were WoW-worthy enough to be reprinted very often, if ever. I don't know. It'd be nice to have a few more bauble grabbers in addition to Trinket Mage, like there used to be, like the Ariok Salvagers or the Leonin Squire or Artificer's Intuition. But too many of those can really contribute to degeneracy, so it's probably best we don't have more than one.
What about the shards? Which I realize sounds weird after Alara, but Heartwood Shard and Crystal Shard. Crystal Shard was the one that got the most attention because you could do really bad things with your own creatures.
Yeah.
What about those? And the signets. I'm thinking more of the cycles.
Not the signets, but the talismans. The talismans made my list.
Thank you.
Talismans are so good, but they might be a little too good with Metalcraft. They weren't as good with Affinity since they cost mana, and they didn't have Affinity. But with Metalcraft around, they might actually be slightly too good here.
I noticed that there's not a whole lot of mana fixing, actually, in Scars of Mirrodin.
Yeah.
Which is kind of important, because you really have to think about your colors carefully. You can't just, you know, if you're going to go mono brown, then you can go mono brown. But what your support colors are really, really matters.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed that.
Yeah, you end up having to... I don't know what I was going to say, but it had something to do with the Mana Mirror. You can probably fill in the blanks.
Yes, it did.
I find it funny. The newer players will have no idea what Brian means by mono brown, because there is no brown.
Mono gray, then. Mono gray. Mono
yeah, I guess the last time artifacts were brown was before the original Mirror.
Yep.
Immediately before.
And they made it brown. They made it gray for Mirrodin, but remember Mirrodin and Darksteel, it was too light, and it really looked like white cards.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually had to darken it up.
Yeah, that was funny.
One card that I was looking through that I found that really only shows, I mean, it shows up in other sets, but this is the, which one was it? Fifth Dawn was the last time it appeared, was Circle of Protection Artifacts.
Huh.
Circle of Protection Artifacts was in Fifth Dawn?
Yeah.
Holy crap, you're right.
It was in Antiquities 4th and 5th, but Fifth Dawn was the last time it was there.
Are there any Circle of Protection in the core set right now?
No. CLPs are gone.
Oh, wow.
I was about to say, I hadn't remember seeing them when we were doing... M11.
You're right, they have been gone for a while. Was the last time they were printed, it was just red and black, right? And that was that 10th edition or 9th edition?
I think it was 10th, but I'm not sure.
Okay. I guess I could look it up since they're still, yeah, they're open in front of me. Doo-doo!
Herp-a-derp.
Circle of Protection.
Are there clockworks in this set?
No, there are no clockwork creatures in Scars.
The clockworks are actually kind of fun.
The last printing of Circle Protection Red says 9th edition.
Oh, okay, so it was 9th edition then.
Wow. I didn't realize it had been that long.
We're old.
We are.
Time is fun when you're having flies. What about stuff like...
But the clockwork guys would be really cool with Proliferate around.
Which might be why they didn't do it.
Yeah, oh, man.
Instead
of being crappy, they'd be pretty cool.
One of the things that they talked about when they talked about Scars, and when they were talking about releasing it, was the counters, remember? And they talked about -1/-1 counters and +1/+1 counters. And I kind of thought, going in, hey, what if they had both? That would be kind of nice, because you'd have interaction, and they eliminate each other, but then it became very easy for me to tell with all the minus one counters. When you're sitting across the table from somebody and they're only using, say, pennies, they don't have different things or dice or something, not necessarily saying they're trying to trick you, not at all, but it just kind of happens. If you're looking over, it's really easy to start getting very confused very quickly. So I can see that being a big problem. So it's very understandable why they didn't go with Sunburst, why they didn't go with Modular, why they didn't go with Clockwork, any of that stuff.
Anything that had to do with counters on things.
Or specifically +1/+1 counters. They still have charge counters, they still have loyalty counters, they still have dark counters.
That's a me.
That's a you.
That's a me.
I didn't know that you were all like plumber like.
It's a me, Dirk, the greatest man alive.
Jump, Dirk, jump.
So what about? Okay, what about stuff like the Tinker-esque stuff? Like there was Fabricate, there's Reshape in the Mirrodin. I don't think there's anything like that other than like Trinket Mage.
Maybe they just got tired of trying to make that without breaking it wide open or making it stupid.
That sounds like an excellent point.
Was it during the last rules update that we talked about that I text for that was hilarious. Well, I thought it was hilarious.
And nobody here heard what you said, though. The text for what?
Yeah, the text for Transmute Artifact. I remember that was pretty hilarious, to me at least.
That's because that was pretty funny. But that wasn't in Mirrodin.
Oh, I know. I was. You said Tinker, which was Mark Rosewater's misguided attempts to fix Transmute Artifact. And we all know how that went.
It ended up breaking it in a completely different manner.
Yes.
So here's one, and this is a serious question. Thirst for Knowledge.
Thirst for Knowledge was just over the edge of being too good.
Here we go. 2 and a blue, instant speed, draw 3 cards, then discard 2 cards, unless you discard an artifact. For the newer listeners that have no idea what the hell we're talking about.
3 cards is a lot.
3 cards is a lot. If it was like draw 2 and discard 1, then it would be crappy and we'd still play it.
Yeah. Like, I'd like to have Mask of Memory again because of how powerful I think that is. That's draw 2, discard 1 when the equipped creature deals combat damage to a player. But 3 cards at instant speed. They stopped doing that. They stopped giving you that many cards at instant speed.
Did they?
Yeah, and I'm certain
J-Ace's
either...
Ingenuity?
Huh?
J-Ace's Ingenuity?
That costs 5.
You just said they stopped doing that. You didn't say
okay,
they stopped doing
it. Okay, no, they stopped doing it cheaply. That's what I meant.
Okay.
And there was an article writer, one of the design folks, who came out and said, yeah, we don't do this anymore for cheap. But then we printed J-Ace's Ingenuity, but then we made it expensive because, you know, whatever. They do stuff like that all the time, yeah.
Oh, man. You know what would have been great with all this as, like, an anti-proliferate card?
What?
Aether Snap. Not only can it kill planeswalkers, that's why they didn't print it.
Oh, you're right.
Because it'll just wipe all the planeswalkers off the board, and everybody will cry.
That's a good call, actually.
Aether Snap, 3 black, sorcery, remove all counters from all permanents, and remove all tokens from the game. Whoops.
Yeah, that would be bad.
What about the equipments that had the instant attach costs?
Yeah, the colored instant speed costs.
So it was like cranial plating. You know, you could equip it for 1, but an instant equip was 2 black.
Yeah.
Now, cranial plating specifically is way too powerful to ever be printed, ever.
Yeah, I stopped playing with cranial plating because of how powerful it is.
I didn't.
Yeah, we know.
That's the reason
Dirk
why.
Dirk just called you a wuss.
Yes, he did. He's well within his rights to do so.
Well, like I said, what was funny was, what was the little wasp, the arc-bound stinger? He knows, like this, oh look, he's so cute with one arc-bound token on him, except that he would have like three cranial platings attached to him, and so everyone described it as, it's a little wasp, with like giant bazookas attached to him. Flying around going, hi there, boom!
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like when he starts attacking people. Blam! Oh, I died.
Dragons, blam? No dragons.
Arcbound, blam.
It's a little wasp. Blam.
For those of you still not in the know, cranial plating gives the equipped creature +1/+0 for each artifact you control.
And the deck that's in had the artifact lands. It had all arc-bound creatures, which are all artifacts. Oh, it was a... And also the deck has the ability to make tokens, I believe.
Probably.
I don't know. Maybe? Sure. I don't remember. It's been a while since I've played it, but it was a... It's definitely an interesting deck to play. Oh, Crucible of Worlds.
Right next to the land block, that would be way too good.
Yeah.
That's true.
I was just about to say Zendikar would have broken it.
That's the big issue with that.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's one of the things that I was wondering if that block was going to have was some sort of land recursion. And Crucible of Worlds has all kinds of land recursion.
It did, to a certain extent. Just not a silly extent.
So what about those instant equip artifacts other than cranial plating? That was a good idea.
Yeah.
That made a card playable in any color, but made it excellent in that specific color, which they're doing now. The spell bombs are good, but they're great in their color because you can draw a card. And the same with the Trigons. That's probably why they went with the Trigons and that sort of thing instead of more equipment that was substandard.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you could move it at instant speed. I guess that's probably it. Did I just answer my own question?
Yeah, you answered it very well, actually.
Mm-hmm. Hey, buddy. So here's a good one. Disciple of Volt.
I am not. I would not like Disciple of Volt to come back.
No.
What about the opposite? The Leonin Abunus, was that his name?
No,
that wasn't it. The guy who's like, hey, whenever you play artifacts, good things happen. It's a good thing for you, instead of bad things to the opponent.
I can't remember his name.
They did this. It's the Smiths.
No. He's talking about the opposite of Disciple of the Vault. That Leonin guy for one.
Yeah, the Life Smith in green in Scars of Mirrodin.
Well, but no. But
except that's three life.
There's a direct counterpart.
I know that, but I'm saying the reason they didn't reprint that one is because they made it the Green Smith.
Oh, I know. I'm just talking about it in general.
Leonin Elder. We were trying to remember the name.
Leonin, yes.
It's not my fault. You guys are dumb.
Well, isn't that? Yeah, the Smiths are great. I like the Smiths.
Is there one thing that isn't standard that shows up in this block initially is things like the Demon Horn? That's where we actually get halfway decent artifacts that when you play a color, you gain life.
Those were the improved Lucky Charms.
Right. Because beforehand, it was cheap to play the artifact, but you had to pay one to gain a life anytime you played that color, which was just dumb. So the Demon Horn is the first one I'm looking at, so...
It wasn't dumb, it was just kind of limited.
No, it was dumb.
Well, I mean, I thought it was pretty dumb. It's like, yes, I'm going to gain some life. I mean, I've got all these cards. I'm going to gain some life, but then you know you're tapped out. Except for maybe you're tapped out, but you're drawn. But you played all these cards, and it's like, well, I wish I could have gained some life out of it. I mean, the artifact just sort of sat there for a long time, and you had to remember to pay for it.
Yeah, I used to play the hell out of an Iron Star back in the day. But as I was as I was becoming a better player, it really, I'm not saying this sarcastically, it really did teach me a lot about how much one mana is really worth. And how much one life is really worth.
I'll tell you, as far as...
It's not worth screwing up your turn.
As far as teaching experience, kind of had that thought myself, but as far, my thought was as far as Mirror Enforcer. Mm. See, before I really went to a pre-release or any of that stuff, or even after I went to one or two, I still very much had the mindset of a multiplayer player. It happens. And I really thought, oh, 4-4 is not that big. What's the big deal? And in like a free 4-4, or even one that you're not paying nearly enough mana for, to make you realize how powerful size really is.
Mm-hmm. Size matters. Size matters. Size matters.
But even
size
even,
matters to women. Sorry, I hear that commercial all the time.
That was actually one of the, that was one of the reasons I'm glad I don't have 100.3 on in my car anymore.
Anyway, keep going, Brian. Sorry.
No, that's pretty much it. Just that. Again, I was like, oh, you know, it's just a 4-4. What's a 4-4? You know. And I don't think I was necessarily completely alone in that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So it was it, that Mike mentioned learning experience. Well, that was kind of my learning experience.
Hey, you guys want to know a funny card?
Yeah, go ahead.
Door to Nothingness.
Shut up, Dirk. Okay, here is a good one that will teach us something. Hunger of the Nim. A common. One and a black. Target creature gets +1/+0 until end of turn for each artifact you control. There's a one-word answer to why this isn't in the set.
Sorcery. Oh, infect. Oh. I'm sorry.
There you go. Yeah.
But it's a
this
sorcery.
This 1/1 infect, dude, is sorcery.
He's a what?
And then you lose.
Is someone being called back? Someone's
don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Well, then mute your mic.
Where's it coming from?
It's coming from Brian.
It's the ringing noise. That doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense.
Don't worry about it. So it must be the end of the world.
Okay.
As we know it.
Know it.
No, what it was, someone else here was using Skype. That's what you heard. On another computer.
Okay.
Well, that's trippy.
Woo.
I noticed there are no Nim, like as far as the
The pump Nim. Those made my list. The pump Nim, the ones who got +1/+0 for each artifact you control. Like, why not?
Is that because of Tainted Strike again? Maybe.
I don't know.
Or because it's kind of dumb.
I think that was the biggest.
No toughness.
That was the problem. They all had no toughness. They're like, I'm gonna die in combat.
Except for the one that was a 3/6, but it cost 7, so it's still dumb.
Yeah, that was his problem. Yeah, they all had some personal problems.
Yeah, they did. One of them had herpes.
One of them had agoraphobia.
One of them just hated people. One of them kind of smelled funny. What about a Tog? There's no a Tog. There's that red guy who's got the power boost.
Atog was on my list.
Yeah.
The thing with Atog is that when you read him, you're like, well, that's okay. But when you like really think about it, and especially if you play with it, he's actually kind of ridiculous.
Mm.
Atog can get kind of ridiculous. Just costing 2 and whooping up on people. Similarly, Vidalkin Engineer is actually pretty ridiculous. He'd be cool to have.
Yeah, Vidalkin Engineer is kind of stupid.
he'd be cool to have, but that would just get out of hand.
What type of stuff happens in upkeep again?
What? Upkeep?
Pretty much anything.
Because I'm looking at Eon Hub. I remember Eon Hub played Havoc a lot of times.
Yeah, that would mess us up sometimes. Here's something. We have some things like Shatter and Halt Order, but in the original Mirrodin block, there was we also had things like Stasis Cocoon, Annul, Domineer, Electrostatic Bolt, Viridian Shaman. There was a lot of artifact hate in the original Mirrodin block.
Like Detonate, Dismantle. Yeah. I was just looking at those
two. Oh, yeah, they reprinted Detonate in Mirrodin block. That was a card I never thought I'd see again, but then it showed up in Mirrodin block.
Well, there was also a dragon, too, that destroyed all artifacts.
Oh, yeah, the Furnace Dragon. Was that it, Furnace Dragon?
Yeah, that was it.
There was a lot of artifact hate in Mirrodin block.
Yeah, it's true. There really isn't terribly much, I guess because they wanted to emphasize it as opposed to hate
well,
it out.
I personally think they did a lot better this go-around because original Mirrodin block, it felt like it was 90% artifacts, 10% everything else. This go-around, the artifacts are still the key part, but there's more color involved, so...
I don't know, it might just be that we haven't played with it enough to start hating on artifacts again.
Well, I don't... I wonder what would happen if we actually ran some numbers. That's not something to do right now, but I'll probably think about it later. To look at the numbers and look at the ratios. But it does feel like we're not totally swimming in artifacts. I think Dirk's right on that point.
I don't know. I've been scrolling through this for a while, and I haven't hit artifacts yet. I'm still in red.
Well, another fun one.
Oh, go ahead.
Another fun card that added some strategy to the block and everything was Fate Spinner.
What strategy? You mean we all want to punch someone in the face?
Well, I mean, it did. The whole point of that card that when we played it was that everyone chose combat phase. Because everyone really just wanted to do everything else, and it really sort of said, okay, which thing are you prioritizing? Because if someone was going to not do main phase, that meant they were going to come out and punch somebody. It added a little bit of protection to an extent.
I'm sorry, I don't have very fond memories of that. I even used to play with it, and I still don't have fond memories of it.
There seems to be a lot less really narrow stuff.
It didn't come out earlier. There was no way I could lose. There was no way I could lose. Is my mic not muted?
Yeah. I have no idea what's going on over there, my friend.
Sorry. Sorry. Don't mind me.
There was no way he could lose.
No, man, the man behind the curtain.
I am the great and powerful. In general, I would have liked to see some Entwine again, but perhaps it was maybe too mechanically close to Kicker to put side by side.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
So now, like I was saying before Brian tripped his face out, I don't know what that was all about. Eating speed.
Talking.
There seems to be a whole lot less really, really, really narrow stuff, like Magnetic Theft.
Yeah, they've gotten better about that in general.
Armed Response. I seem to be finding stuff that's just equipment-based, but, I mean, there's all kinds of narrow crap on here that we just don't have anymore, it doesn't seem. Mm. Or if it's because they've gotten better.
I think they've just gotten better at designing in general.
Let's hope so.
I want Night's Whisper again. Yes, we have
everyone.
Yes, we have Sign and yes, we have Sign and Blood, and I guess it's technically more versatile, but really, I want Night's Whisper again. Night's Whisper is awesome. Full-shot Battlemaster would be cool, but equipment nowadays has gotten good enough to that would kind of be way too crazy.
Yeah.
I'm good. Sorry.
What? Yes, you are.
I start having a conversation with someone else, and I realize that I didn't have this muted. I'm not used to this version 5.0 Skype stuff.
We didn't hear what you were saying, so you must have had it muted.
No. Remember, we did hear him saying something.
Oh, that. Okay.
He's apologizing for that. The thing that happened in the past, not the thing that happened right now that didn't happen.
Yeah, keep up with it, man.
Don't talk to other people on Skype while you're talking to us on Skype, you prick.
I was talking to someone else in person.
Oh, well, that's okay then. Is it someone I know?
I think so. Oh. No, I'm fairly certain you know my wife. There's only my wife and Sam and Carrie's mom in this house. I don't know.
I had a 2 out of 3 chance of knowing who it was, of knowing this person.
When, before Fifth Dawn came out, I was really looking forward to whatever the missing brother to Leveler and Eater of Days was going to be, and then there wasn't one. So I wanted to see one in Scars, and then there wasn't one. And that's sad.
Yeah, I think he might be the only one.
Oh, come on. Why would I be the only one? Like, well, I guess I'm the only one in this room, obviously. I actually thought y'all had dropped off of the call with the complete lack of response I got to that.
Nah.
Sorry about
we would
that.
Never drop off the call for you, Mike.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm still looking at cards.
Well, one that I liked was Fire Shrieker. So that's the equipment has double strike, or the equipped creature has double strike.
That's another one where infect makes it a little too touchy. Just wouldn't be a good idea.
Yeah.
See, I think my disadvantage is that I've not played with the new set at all, so some of the stuff I'm looking through, I'm like, I don't know.
Fair enough.
Like, the lack of +1/+1 counters might be why we don't have a new version of the Slith, guys.
Yeah.
Although they can really go anywhere, the fact that they were in mirrored in a sort of, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rude Awakening. Rude Awakening was a badass spell, but it was completely irrelevant what set it was in.
Yeah, the only reason it appeared in mirrored in block was because it had Entwine. And it was kind of unclear as to why Entwine appeared in mirrored in block anyway, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, it was one they came up with. This would be cool. Where do we put it?
Yeah. Oh, I have in my notes Core Tapper. And the note I wrote beneath him is whoop whoop. Because Core Tapper would be so fun to have.
Well, he doesn't say tap to proliferate or anything. He only puts a charge counter on something, right?
Right, still. Hey.
Well, the number of things that use charge counters is a little lower, like, than. You've got lots of different permanents with different types of counters right now.
The artifacts I can think of in Scars that use counters, they're charge counters. All of the Trigons, the Tumble Magnet, the Sensor.
Oh, I forgot about Tumble Magnet.
Chimeric Mass. Is that the other thing?
Yeah, I don't know what Brian's talking about.
Another set of stations would be pretty amusing.
I saw the stations earlier when I was getting ready for this, and I was like, "Ye don't miss these."
I don't either. I distinctly remember building an anti-station deck one go around because I got so fed up with the stations.
Yeah, I remember some of those three-wheeled car moments that Gabe had. We were all finally like, God, fine. You probably win. I remember one time Austin actually, it was bothering him, and he actually got up out of bed and wrote some stuff down, and he realized that one of the games we had given to him, it didn't work. It stopped after like 5 iterations, and it couldn't be restarted again.
Hey, what about Aether Vial?
No.
Too powerful?
I had the misfortune of facing an Aether Vial again back in wherever it was at that 5K.
I like Oblivion Stone a lot.
Oblivion Stone was pretty neat.
Because it was kind of thematic, you know, and it was an interesting picture of like putting omen counters on something. How many times do you get to use omen counters? Or is it fake counters? Hold on.
I think you're right. Omen, maybe. Oblivion. No, Oblivion Stone.
Oh, Oblivion Stone. Fate counters. I'm
fate.
Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I'm getting my omens and my fates mixed up.
You gotta watch out for that.
What's? I mean, honestly, how many counters have they really come up with?
Lots.
Too many to count.
Another something bus would have been nice to see. You know, like Pentavus or Tetravus or Triskelivus or.
Although, again, first of all, Triskelius was just in M11.
You're thinking about Triskelion.
Triskelion, that's right.
Triskelivus was Future Sight, I think.
Actually, I think it was Time Spiral.
It was Time Spiral? Okay. I think it'd be nice to have another X-Bus.
Did you say X-Bus?
Yeah, I couldn't think of a better word.
I like it. I'm scrolling through the everything here going, I don't know.
Serum powder would be totally ignored again. So probably not worth printing?
Probably not. Pristine Angel was a beating.
Oh, yeah.
You remember Pristine Angel? 4/4, flying. As long as she's untapped, she has protection from all from artifacts in all colors. And, okay, so you attack with her, but whenever you play a spell, you may untap her.
Yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous.
With Proliferate, let's just be glad they didn't print Gemstone Array.
Gemstone Array wasn't all that great to start with. I tried playing with it before, but it just turned out to be disappointing.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, it costs 4. Never mind.
Yeah.
Learn to read. Okay, so hold on. I have a question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to Limited Resources earlier today,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about the replicas. And they were like, well, the old replicas were really underpowered after the M10 rules changes, so we have these new ones. But I'm looking at the old replicas, and the abilities are different, but they're exactly the same concept.
Huh? But wait, what are you saying?
I want to know what Marshall and Ryan were talking about.
They're talking about the damage on the stack change.
I know that, but how is that different from the current replicas?
What do you mean?
What do you mean, what do I mean?
The current replicas, you have to choose. You can't get both.
On the old replicas, you have to choose. You can't get both.
On the old replicas, you put damage on the stack, and then you sacrifice them for the ability.
No, ass face. The old replicas, right now. The rules,
what the hell? No. The new ones have much cheaper activated abilities, and they're just kind of better creatures.
Is that what they were talking about?
Yeah, that's why
they kept talking about how. I heard Ryan say this like 3 times over 2 or 3 episodes. How the old replicas, because of the M10 rules change, they got a lot worse. because you couldn't do the damage stack and then use the ability. So now I have these new ones. And I'm like, but they do the same thing, essentially.
They gave us new ones, and the abilities are cheaper, and the abilities are stronger to make up for that.
Okay, now I feel you.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
And I understand your confusion.
I'm like, it's the same thing, but since I don't have the current ones up, I just have these old ones in front of me, I sort of forgot about the whole cheapness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the Silvok replica, he can blast an artifact or an enchantment just for one green mana. But for the old replicas, it was
mana.
Yeah, it was split up. It cost 2 mana on the elf to kill an artifact, and it cost 2 mana on the soldier to kill an enchantment.
And it costs... No, you've got that backwards.
Huh? I do. You're right.
Yeah, the elf destroyed enchantments. The goblin costs 4 to destroy an artifact.
Oh, and the soldier dealt damage to an attacking or blocking creature. Right.
Is that right?
Yeah, and the zombie gave a creature -1/-1 for like 3 mana. Like, ooh.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, I remember now.
I'm not finding these.
Aria, there's soldier replica, elf replica, goblin replica, nim replica, and wizard replica. Wizard replica is still pretty decent.
Soldier. Oh, yeah, okay. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, what about Mindslaver?
I'm glad
it's a good thing they. It's just a really good thing they didn't make some way to recur it, like Bringer of the White Dawn. It would be terrible prototype portal if they were to do anything like that.
Yeah, that would be miserable. Let's be glad that they didn't do that prototype portal. Here, what about Isochron Scepter?
That is an interesting one, and I like how it actually cast the spell. Or played, as they said back in the day, way too much for everything.
I think they didn't print it because they wanted to keep expanding on it. Like, they expanded on they had the Isochron Scepter, they had the Soul Foundry, and then later they had the Panoptic Mirror, and now, of course, we have the Prototype Portal. That was a choice, I think. But also, Isochron Scepter just got annoying.
It really did. Can I do it one more time? Hey, what about Juggernaut? I'm done.
Jug's got you.
I'm really glad they didn't do anything with those crappy golems from Mirrodin.
Yeah, with the color activator abilities. Yeah, they weren't that.
They were not good, and then they were not good.
In Limited, I really like playing with Hematite Golem. But that was it, really.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
Pewter Golem was sometimes good in Limited, but he was too expensive to start with.
Let's turn back to equipment for a second and think a little bit about Nightmare Lash.
I have just gotten to that, but I don't know why.
I did like that.
In fact, it's going to be the same reason.
I did like that cycle of artifacts that cared about color in some way. A cycle of rare artifacts.
That was a cycle?
Yeah. That was Nightmare Lash, Leonin Standard, Goblin Charbelcher... Vidalkin Shackles and
the green one.
Yeah. Tangle Root. I hope that wasn't it.
I got nothing. But then I'm not really looking. So what about Nightmare?
It was also Proteus Staff. Wait a minute.
It was just so great, and now we actually kind of have a more versatile version in Strata Scythe. That word Strata, is that Strata Scythe?
Yeah, Strata Scythe.
Yeah.
But obviously you have the cost of exiling the card, but then you can set it to really whatever you want.
But at least you get to exile the card from your deck instead of lands you want to play. That's
right. Nice. And Nightmare Lash, I'm looking this really quick, did Nightmare Lash was each swamp you control, where Staticythe is in play or on the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the ability to attach an equipment with no mana cost was pretty nifty. We've seen it a couple times, and you know, they had Lightning Greaves too. Lightning Greaves.
Mm-hmm.
Shroud and Haste. Shroud and Haste for no equip is ridiculous.
Well, they went with the +1/+1 in Haste that equips for one.
Mm-hmm.
What is that called?
Cost 3 Strider something.
Harness, yeah, the Strider Harness. Mm-hmm. Which is both better and worse. It gives it a pump, which is always nice, but there's no Shroud. So Infect is another reason that we didn't see stuff like Nemesis Mask.
I'm coming to get you.
Well, I don't think we can really leave the Mirrodin block without talking about the Cauldra equipments.
I still play with those.
We could.
Yeah, they were, yeah, again, you can, you know, go through and everything with it, but I thought they were, I think that they still could be applied to this set. Yeah, to the current set.
Part of the one issue is, though, and something that we've mentioned before, it's much more difficult to tutor up all the pieces with the tools we have right now.
Yeah.
That's true.
Unless we get some more in Mirrodin Besieged in the third set.
More artifact finding?
Yeah.
It really wouldn't surprise...
I use Stoneforge Mystics to find mine.
It really wouldn't surprise me to see Fabricate reprinted in Mirrodin Besieged.
Okay.
What about Sculpting Steel? That would have been awesome.
Oh, Sculpting Steel would have been great.
I'm sure there's a reason they didn't reprint it, but I'd love to know what it is, because that would have been great.
Prototype Portal.
Isn't that a mythic?
Huh?
Or is it just a rare?
I think Prototype Portal is just a rare.
Good lord.
Put a Sculpting Steel in a Prototype Portal and go nuts.
There's really no reason to even mention Skull Clamp because they didn't reprint it because it's broken! Hey, what's the Solemn Simulacrum's... Oh, he's a Golem now. Ooh.
Oh, wow. He just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, they could have reprinted him and I'd have been okay with that.
Yeah, then I could actually, like, have some.
Yeah, really.
Do you have some?
I have lots, actually, because once they rotated out, the price dropped to, like, virtually nothing, and I picked up, I think I've got two sets.
Awesome.
Because, I mean, it dropped from, you know, $6-$8 a piece, whatever it was stupid, down to, like, 50 cents. I was like, mine.
That's great.
Sundering Titan.
I'm going to put him in my Stronghold Gambit deck the next time I make it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when I thought of that, I was like, oh, man.
That's cold, bruh. That's cold.
It is. Read Sundering Titan for those not in the know.
Sundering Titan. I just scroll past it. For 8 mana, which, oddly enough, is not as much as it sounds. It's rare. It's a 7/10 artifact creature. Golem. Great. When Sundering Titan enters a battlefield, choose a land of each basic land type, then destroy those lands. And it does the same thing when it leaves the battlefield.
And I go to the graveyard, leave the battlefield for any reason.
Yeah, blinking, bouncing, dying, exiling. Ah.
He's pretty crazy. He was often one of the benefactors of an entwined tooth and nail.
Yeah. Darkstone Colossus and Sundering Titan equals death to the whatever happens to be anywhere close to you.
Sometimes Platinum Angel would even get the fancy treatment from Tooth and Nail.
Sometimes. I'm not really seeing much else.
I'm not really sad about her not being around because we have Platinum and Perion and he's so awesome.
Well, she is around. She's in M11 still, isn't she?
Oh, is she? Oh, okay. Well, cool. Welcome back, Platinum Angel.
Isn't she?
I don't know. I'm looking it up.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah, Mythic Rare, M11.
That's what I thought.
Cool.
Oh, now they can get together and have little Platinum Kitty Kitties.
That's a scary thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did you see the size of that guy?
She's Golem on her father's side.
Oh. Okay, here's an easy one. Oh, wait, they sort of did this. The Wayfarer's Bauble. It's in Horizon Spellbomb.
Yeah, that's true.
Never mind.
An expedition map also exists right now, so, you know.
Yeah, well, that says land, which is ridiculous. Yoshian Soldier.
I thought that was hilarious when they printed that in Meriden.
Especially since they gave it art to make it look badass.
I like the old art.
You would.
Maybe just because it's weird.
Actually, he sort of looked badass in the old art, too.
Yeah, just in a different way. In the new art, he looks more like an actual thing. Instead of just a, what the hell is that?
I don't know, man. I've run out of cards that I think might work. I mean, there's lots of just random nonsense that has nothing to do with anything.
Quicksilver Fountain.
Yeah, yes. Thought Dissector. I guess Thought Dissector works because it's looking for artifacts in an opponent's deck, but...
Time Sifter has nothing to do with anything.
That's the one I was thinking of, yeah.
You know that Time Sifter deck that AJ built?
No.
And we all wanted to kill AJ.
Let's see. I did find Hum of the Radix, which is definitely artifact hate.
Yeah, it is.
That'd be kind of mean right now, especially with no affinity.
Is there as much land search in Scars of Myrdan?
There is virtually none.
There's the Horizon Spellbomb, and that's it.
Yeah.
So Journey of Discovery would be good.
Yeah, Journey of Discovery would be awesome, especially coming off of the heels of Zendikar Block and Rise of the Eldrazi.
No, wait a minute. When you say that's it, you mean that's, like, literally it? That's all of it?
Land search?
Yeah, that's it.
Not really thinking of anything.
There's nothing else.
Holy crap.
Check the green section, that's where it'd be. I'm willing to believe that. I can't think of anything. Derek's right, though. Journey of Discovery would be totally sweet right now. But we can't have it.
And say this, because the Myrdan block happened after the Onslaught block, there is still a lot of creature types around. I don't think Scars has as many creature types, does it?
Well, it doesn't have any. It doesn't have as many of some of the traditional. Well, the traditional tribal creature types. There's no tribal thing supporting them right now, really.
No. Because I mean, where I'm going through and seeing the Leonins, the different groups like that, and it's like, I don't remember seeing as many of those when we previewed it.
There were a ton of beasts in Meriden Block, like a ton.
Yeah.
Like every other green creature was a beast. If you weren't an elf, you were probably a beast.
You were an elf, a beast, or a worm.
There are vampires. There are vampires, though, right?
In Meriden, there was only one vampire.
Well, the Mephidros vampire, but are there vampires in Scars?
Yes.
The Mephidros would be one to throw in there. Because each creature you control is a vampire. So essentially, you could have elves or Leonins or whatever, and all of a sudden, hey, look, my guys are also vampire, goblin, elves, Leonins.
Shamans.
Shaman. The longer your title is, the more important you are. The longer your creature type is, the more important you are.
See? Size matters.
I'm glad that Mimnarch is a bit out. But isn't there someone that replaces Mimnarch, though?
Right now, not really.
Not really?
Like, not in that way.
Well, how do you mean, Dirk?
Okay,
like storyline wise, okay. Or
because I was thinking, because somewhere along, I thought there was somebody who did pretty much what Mimnarch does. I mean, he turns things into artifacts and then he steals them.
I don't think there's anyone who steals things. The Grand Architect can turn. What does he do?
He turns artifacts blue, I think, doesn't he?
Yeah, he can turn artifact creatures blue. And blue creatures can tap to make mana used for artifacts.
Okay.
But I don't think there's anyone who steals guys like that.
Yeah. But there was something that changed the color of something and then it did something else.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking of.
Right. Okay.
So, but Mimnarch would just, I mean, it's a good thing he's not there because he would just play havoc with that block. With this block.
I do miss Eternal Witness.
Oh, yeah. Eternal Witness. Eternal Witness eventually built up some history for many people.
Well, part of that was because of the white cycling thing.
Mm-hmm. And Gifts Ungiven later.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Gifts Ungiven, All Suns Dawn, and Eternal Witness, and whatever else you actually wanted to have in your hand. You can basically do pretty much whatever you wanted. If two of the cards you got with Gifts Ungiven were Eternal Witness and All Suns Dawn.
Hmm. That makes me sad.
Yeah. But still, you're right. Eternal Witness was a nice card to have.
Another fun one that's seeing as Mir have been getting very, Mir seemed to be getting very destructive, and I mean there's the Genesis Chamber and then the Mir Matrix.
Those are really good Mir cards.
The Mir Matrix is indestructible and Mir creatures get +1/+1, and the Genesis Chamber, anytime you play a non-creature or a non-token creature, it pops out a new baby. Which, with Mirror Matrix, just makes mirrors just awesome.
The Matrix can also make more. You pay 5 and make one, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Was it 5? Yeah, it was 5.
But that didn't activate the Mirror Matrix, though. Or the Genesis Chamber. Because they were token creatures.
Right.
But Genesis again, Planet.
Do what?
That's a Genesis planet.
But the thing is with this new block, though, there are a lot more mirror, so that the Genesis chamber would actually be more important if you were running a mirror deck.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, the mirror matrix would just make them, I mean, they're already starting to get overwhelming, and that just adds fuel to the fire.
Yeah, maybe Genesis Chamber will be pushing it a little bit. Now that you say that.
Hmm. Yeah, I think I've run out.
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, what else is on your list?
We covered everything, I think, except for some. If there's something on here that I didn't mention, it's because I felt that it wasn't important anymore. So, yeah, we got everything that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
So just a quick look back at the original Mirrodin block. Stuff that we're either happy or sad that we didn't get. And why. That's important.
Very important.
Hmm. Well, now what?
Well, now, I don't know.
Let's dance.
Dirk, you're upsetting the baby.
I'm watching.
Good job, Dirk.
I'm going to try to go to game day on the 30th.
Cool. You said you have car troubles, so you can't go to the PTQ for what? Magic in France weekend or something?
Yeah, I gotta go take my car somewhere this weekend and get it dropped off, and so someone can look at it and try to fix the problem that's keeping it from passing inspection.
Arg.
Yeah, I know. Someone I talked to last weekend actually suggested that I go to the DMV and pay however much money to get my address changed and get the car registered in Caswell County because they don't have the emissions requirement in Caswell County. I was like, maybe that's slightly more shady than I actually want to do right now. Hmm.
Look at Mike being not shady.
Yeah.
See, I wouldn't do it either, but that's only because I'm just too lazy.
Okay, fair enough. There are 100 counties in North Carolina.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. Which is the same as...
What?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Brian. It's a good thing his sister's hot. Oh, there he is.
I didn't go anywhere.
Okay. Yeah, you did.
Did you just completely stop talking?
I'm still here, which, for what it's worth.
Maybe we need to try to wrap the show up before electricity stops working, period. That'd be bad for everyone.
Guys living together. All right, then. So, final thoughts, Brian, if you can hear us?
Yes, I can. Fine. My final thought... You're so fine. My final thought, I have two final thoughts. First of all, that having a baby is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it will change your life. But I am still here on the Manipool, and that's not going to change. And then my second thought, I'm going to try and keep this really brief, because people have talked about on Star City Games yesterday or today, there was an article, I believe it was yesterday, about Mythics, Cross to Mythics, but it was a little different take than a lot of the other ones have been, and this gentleman was, Gordy, was talking about, he actually looked back and he gave a little story about how he got into Magic and what money really means to him. And then he talks about lack of ethnic diversity in magic and how, especially in the United States and in Canada, I think he was mostly concentrating on the United States. Generally speaking, the racial breakdown also matches up a little bit with, or fairly well with, economic breakdown. Minorities generally do not earn as much per household as non-minorities. And then he goes to explain that, you know, obviously games cost money and that sort of thing, which was a very interesting argument. But then he goes on to say, you know, and, oh, by the way, mythics are really expensive and they're ruining the game and because they're pushing the price up too much. And I'm a white guy and I can't afford to play this game. And it comes across almost a little condescendingly at the last where it's like he sent, what he's trying to say is that,
it's that mythics are racist.
Almost a little bit. No. Seriously though, what he's trying to say is that where you have games, and he mentioned like basketball, that are fairly low cost to get into, you're going to have greater diversity. But something like hockey, which is obviously really big in Canada because there's more expense required to play. Uh-huh. He said, you look at the NHL and it's not very diverse. So he's talking about the same thing here. But again, I think where he loses it is that he's not, he seems to be implying almost, I don't think this is what he was going for, but he's inadvertently implying that he has been able to play Magic all along, but he doesn't deny that that it doesn't cost money to begin with. But now it costs too much. So now how it comes across is, it's getting too expensive even for me, which sounds like, okay, it was all right before when other people couldn't afford to play, but now, God help the white people? I'm not really. So I don't think that's what he was going for. But honestly, read it, and that part of it comes across that way. I don't want to spend an hour, half an hour, even 15 minutes talking about this, because I do want to say that I recognize, I think I perhaps attacked the argument too hard before and I didn't recognize the validity of the other side. A lot of mythics, especially the key ones right now in a lot of the key decks, do cost more money. And therefore, playing competitively, although I don't have a breakdown, most likely costs is more expensive than it has been. Certainly looking at the figures, it's more than a lot of people would want to pay for it. What I still, and I think some people react to that and say, you know, well, if it's too expensive, then don't play. I think that's not quite the right attitude. I would say if it's too expensive, then innovate. Try and find other ways to play. Either, you know, if it's too expensive to go to a tournament with the deck that you really, really want, then I'm sorry, don't go to that tournament, but maybe play in some other function. You know, there are Friday Night Magics all over the place. Hopefully you have friends that play. Just because you cannot go to this PTQ that you've always wanted to go to with what you think is the top power deck, first of all, you can still go with something else. And yes, there are decks that are less expensive than others. Will you like as much? I don't know. Again, try and innovate. If you really think that's a waste of your money, then don't go. There are other ways to play Magic. So I think people get into the mindset that there are five, maybe seven tops decks that they can play, quote unquote. And because those are the five or seven decks that are being played, they're going to be more expensive. And because Mythics come in shorter supply than rares, by nature, they're going to be more expensive. I don't think that makes the game broken. I don't think that makes the system broken. I think that if you're going to play at a higher level, sometimes there's a cost associated with it. People accept that in other things. People don't say, you know, wow, you know, I really wish that somebody, you know, would just, okay, I'm trying to come up with an analogy, but that is kind of the way that the world works, and that's the way how some sports work. Other competitive events, there's a cost associated with that. I think the thing is that Magic players assume there's this sense of entitlement. I should be able to play with the cards that I want, and it doesn't matter that, you know, other things don't work that way. We just say we really like this game, we enjoy playing this game, and I should be able to get the cards that I want. I promised I wasn't going to rant for too long, so I'm going to stop there.
Because Magic, like every other sport, is racist.
All right, somebody else's final thought.
I'm sorry I started laughing again near the end, but you used the word entitlement, and I just couldn't get over it. I'm sorry.
But that's it. That's just it. I do think for some reason, for however the game works, people get it in their head that there almost shouldn't be a cost associated with it. And I disagree. I'm not saying that I'm glad that cards are expensive, but it does not, in the end, it doesn't bother me. It's the way economics works. Also, one last point. I'm sorry, but for the number of people that are complaining, you'd think that every single one of those people thinks that they will absolutely go to a PTQ or go to a Grand Prix, and if they have that deck, then they will win, no matter what. Period. Not having these cards is keeping me from winning. And that overlooks everyone else there that has it, or if they were cheaper, would then have it. Lack or difference in skill. And again, if you're saying, well, that's not the case, well, then play something different. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah,
absolutely.
If you don't want to have to buy four Jaces, don't play blue. There.
Really? I'm going to play blue, and I don't have four big Jaces. I have four little Jaces.
Hey, little Jace is badass.
I know, because he makes Big Jace say, "Oh, I can't come to play." And you're like, ah. You got the right point about the message should be, if you can't afford that deck, innovate. I mean, that's what I do. Sometimes it doesn't turn out that well. I mean, it was only just last time I was at Randy's, I got worst place. Like, seriously. Mm-hmm. Because I innovated poorly. But I learned some things.
Sorry, just worst place.
It was. I only won one game the entire night. I got a bye the last round, and I'm like, thank you, God. Now no one has to be pared down to look at my nonsense.
Just to crush you.
Right.
But, if you want to go to, like, I don't know, the next level up from, like, tag football in the back. You got to buy in the backyard. You got to buy gear.
Yeah.
And again,
It helps that for something like football specifically, it helps that like middle schools and high schools often have funded programs so that the burden isn't on the kid to be buying that gear and playing, because there are school leagues. There aren't really very many hockey school leagues except in very specific places.
Right. Which, and I do think that he definitely made his point as far as that. Mm-hmm. I felt almost like the two arguments were a bit disjointed. He was trying to fit them together, and the race one was almost more for shock value as far as I'm going to take a new approach to this, and this is something that people tread around lightly, tread around a lot.
It's true that sports and activities that cost a lot of money, you do eventually end up getting stratified along socioeconomic lines. But let's face it, part of the thing with Magic is also it's a combination of that and the geek culture. Let's be honest with each other.
Mm.
So it's not all about money.
Yeah, but the message I want to leave with is I don't agree with necessarily with the people who are saying quit whining, just leave. because I do think I think I was more trending on that part, but I really do feel that, you know, there is some legitimacy here because it is expensive and because people, you know, enjoy playing. My response is not stop playing. My response is keep playing. Keep playing with what you've got, what you can afford, and what you can afford comfortably. Don't feel like you have to max out on everything. Mm-hmm. And maybe you'll find new ways to not just win, but enjoy yourself along the way. and okay. Now really, someone else say something about something else or we'll be here forever.
As my old man would say, use your head for something besides a hat rack.
I like that.
He also would tell me to use my head for something other than growing hair. And then eventually I hit puberty and I realized I was growing hair in other places. And I was like, ha ha ha, and then he stopped saying that one. Anyway.
So I guess that's me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dirk.
So my final thought, I still haven't bought any of this new set, so I have no idea what's... I mean, I understand the whole premise of that Mirrodin is there, and now Phyrexia is apparently invading it, so we're having the second invasion. So Phyrexia's like, well, we got kicked out of this one. Well, let's try again somewhere else. Hey, there's a bunch of metal things. We've got a bunch of metal things. Let's go have a party here. So I'm just waiting for the Eldrazi to show up to the party and be like, dude, why didn't you call us?
I don't think I've ever heard an explanation so eloquent. It nearly brings me to tears.
That was pretty good, yeah.
So, I mean, I do like the sort of the story of everything that's going on, but at the same time, you know, I personally have no interest in buying the new set. I haven't bought into the last. I mean, I bought some Rise of the Eldrazi, and that's about it. I really have not. If this had been back in the college days, I'd been all for it. I would have spent money and probably have bought in a box and everything else and been playing full on. But, you know, unfortunately, my monetary obligations have moved somewhere else, sort of like what Brian was talking about. But to some extent, though, that doesn't mean that I don't have fun playing Magic.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Dirk appreciates the game on an intellectual level nowadays.
Yeah. And I do, and the one thing I do like is that when we went to the pre-releases, there was that one guy who was going around and getting some of the extra cards that you just wanted to get rid of, because he actually was doing like, what was it, an after-school thing for kids at his school?
I remember that guy.
Oh yeah, Reister?
I don't know his name.
Yeah, but I mean, that's an awesome concept, you know, if, you know, really, I've got enough boxes of Magic that if I knew that there was at least some population at my school that wanted to learn how to play and build decks, I'd give away my cards for free. And I have a feeling that potentially some of the pro players or people out there, they've got tons of cards that they're not never going to play with. And it would just be nice for people to just donate them to maybe the schools. We worry so much about, well, now there's the kids are just walking around with nothing to do, you know, idle hands are the devil's hands as the term goes. So why don't we give these kids something to do with their time? They can learn to play Magic. Magic teaches you math, teaches you strategy, teaches you how to count.
You learn to play Satan's game.
Learn to play Satan's game. That's Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh yeah, you're right. That's Dungeons and Dragons, my bad.
This is Magic.
Framing on the gym jam.
This is maybe Ball's game. Not Satan's game, it's just Ball's game. Ball's a little higher up than, you know, he's a little bit closer than Satan. Satan's down in his little pit somewhere. Ball's only level one of, you know, down below.
For those of you who are more familiar with the name from playing Diablo, that would be Bale.
Ball's only on level one.
Ball's a little lower.
I really always thought that name was pronounced Bale.
it's bail, ball, whatever you want to call them. According to Stargate, it's ball, so I'm going to say
traditionally, ball. It's ball. There's a glottal stop in there, but
I know how I'm pronouncing it from now on.
Here on the Manipool, we just love talking about balls.
And him down the first level.
Right.
I think Dirk's final thought may be my favorite final thought of all time, forever, including anything we ever did. Ever.
Oh, dance party. What was that?
I mean.
And that was the phone's final thought.
Anytime where you're talking about idle hands and ball, it's just. What
is that?
This is the culture music. It's coming from Brian because he's doing the Max Headroom thing. Oh god, we're all gonna die!
Oh no! The world's gonna end!
Sorry, I was doing the Super Mario Brothers crossover.
Busted. I was like, wait, that's Mario. Wait, that's Castlevania.
I only made it through two levels. Idle hands, right? Oh, my God. Dirk, you have certainly made this last part worth waiting for. All of you who are still listening to the episode, congratulations.
I don't know
if you win or lose, but it's definitely an accomplishment. Achievement unlocked.
I don't have any final thoughts this evening. I don't know if I'm going to have any thoughts ever again, because it's impossible to top either of those thoughts that we just finished listening to. It just can't be done. I don't know why I even try. It was nice reminiscing, I'll say that.
Don't fight the ball.
Yeah, I just can't stop talking about balls. That's my final thought.
Oh man, have you guys ever tasted balls?
Okay, we need to stop now.
No, it was an energy drink that was sold in like
EB Games?
The Game Frog in Haynes Mall.
Yeah, I don't know
if EB sold them. Yeah, it was in a blue bottle, so you know it was blue balls, and it had little bumps all over it. Oh, I used to take it to work, and people, what is that? And I'd hold it up, and they'd go, balls. I'm like, yeah, you want to taste my balls? These balls are delicious. Oh, look, they got little bumps on them, and then people would walk away from them, and I don't understand. But anyway, I guess I too have no final thought. Although, there was one that I remember what it was I wanted to mention. The whole Friday Night Magic only being in stores and only on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
You guys hear about that controversy?
I did hear about that.
Which has absolutely no effect on me, but I'm sure there are some people out there that were just furious. There must have been because I got an invite from somebody on Facebook to join a group or like a page or something about... please don't do this or something. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Well, there are plenty of non-store owning tournament organizers out there who have done a lot of work building up these regular play communities for Friday Night Magic and pre-release events. And they are pissed off.
I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Wizards seems to be under this impression that people start playing Magic at stores, which I've never met anyone who started playing Magic at a store.
No, me neither.
No.
That's not where it happens.
Post in the forums and tell us, you know, how you got started and whether it was in a store or in somebody's house or at college or where.
I learned how to play on a school field trip.
That is not the forums.
You lose.
Screw you. Balls.
Ball sack. Okay, so should we just stop it there then?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So this
Rainy
is
agrees.
Does,
see?
Does Samantha have nothing to say on this episode?
She has nothing to say right now.
Oh, that's too bad. I don't think we actually got any audio recorded of her crying when we started, which is too bad. That'd be a nice way to start the episode with the baby. Fresh baby. And no, not for supper. I had pizza for supper. Can you tell I'm kind of tired?
I can't remember what I had for supper. Oh, I heated up some spaghetti. That's what I had for supper.
You're silly. Okay, then. So, this has been episode 151 of The Manipool. And I got nothing. So, thank you all very much for listening, and go play some magic.